Okay, we'll pick back up over in Romans chapter 16. And we finished up with, I think, verse 20 last time we were over here. 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And we stand much in need of the grace of God. Not only when we were lost sheep, but just as much when we've been brought into the fold. We stand in need of God's grace day by day and moment by moment. Paul returns as he brings the letter to a conclusion, mentioning some of the folks that are associated with him and his work, some that are there with him in Corinth at this time. Those who ask that their greetings be relayed to the Roman saints. And he begins with a young fellow that we're rather familiar with, verse 21. Timotheus, my fellow, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, and my kinsmen salute you. Timotheus, my fellow worker, this is the brother that we more commonly know as Timothy. And again, as I read through these names and see how Paul mentions these folks, it's just kind of a reminder to me that these were flesh and blood folks like us, folks who had relationships one with another, who had affection one for another, like we do here in this fellowship, and Brother Dale, as he was able to be with us, and so forth. Timothy may have been converted under the ministry of Paul. Paul refers to him at times as, quote, my true child in faith, in 1 Timothy 1:2. He refers to him elsewhere as my beloved child. Though it's also possible that he was converted at an earlier time and grew to maturity under the ministry of the apostle, and the apostle came to feel as a father to him in that sense. Certainly, Timothy, the Lord set Timothy in a circumstance to where his mother and his grandmother had been greatly used of God in preparing this young man and setting the way before him, as Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The way had been prepared by the family, that God had set him in. God uses families. God uses parents. God uses grandparents. And we should thank him for doing that, and we should seek to be the parents and grandparents that God might use as well in the ministry of those who follow us. It seems more likely to me that Timothy was converted under the instructions of his mother and grandmother, though that could have been associated with Paul's ministry as well. In 2 Timothy, we read in chapter 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. In fact, the first time that we find this young man mentioned in Scripture, he's already a disciple. In Acts 16, verse 1 says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. And Paul had earlier evangelized the region round about the area that Timothy was from, Lystra and Derbe. We read earlier in Acts chapter 14 and verse 6. It says, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth about, and there they preached the gospel. For it may have been at this time that Timothy's mother and grandmother and Timothy himself were converted unto Christ. Though, again, God had been working in their lives, obviously. He had been brought up in the Scriptures. These are folks that the Lord was preparing, folks that were looking for the coming Messiah. In any case, young Timothy becomes a close companion to Paul, and he accompanies him on many of his journeys. And he's there and experiences many of the trials and many of the persecutions that the apostle experienced. And so God knits them together. Timothy's mother, as we read in the passage above, was a Jew. And by Jewish law, then Timothy would have been considered to be a Jew. The Jewish law, and as it even is expressed today, you know, if one's mother is a Jew, he's considered to be a Jew. Not necessarily so if just his father is a Jew. And some feel that it's, you know, you can't be certain. But with a mother, you know that he was indeed was a Jew. But for some reason, you know, Timothy had not been circumcised into the Jewish faith. His mother was a Jew. Timothy would have been, by the Jews, considered to be a Jew. He had not been circumcised. And, you know, that could cause some questions and conflicts as they sought to minister to the Jews. I think as we see Paul's ministry and the way he deals with some of these things, the sort of things we might deal with. You know, the conflicts that we might deal with, and how to seek the right balance in things, because we know from reading the Scriptures that Paul took and had Timothy circumcised. However, in another circumstance, as he's dealing with another associate, Titus, Paul refused to have him circumcised because he wished to give no credence to the Judaizers that held to the position that one must become a Jew in order to be saved. One must become a Jew in order to become a Christian. Pray that God give us the balance when we face things like that. I think Paul, you know, made a wise choice. Paul made the decision that the Lord led him in those things. In any case, young Timothy associates with Paul. Young Timothy is ordained to the ministry. We read in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." The local church, represented by the elders, and here it's called the presbytery, recognized the gifts that Timothy had, recognized the calling of God upon him, and sent him forth to the work. Now, those things don't have to necessarily be, you know, the kind of formal things that they've kind of evolved to, and even amongst Baptists, we don't see, you know, the kind of formal records, you know, through church. There's not a succession of apostles or ordinations necessarily. It's the local church that determines those things. We don't know it even concerning the Lord's churches, you know, who started some of the New Testament churches. And so this matter of ordination is simply the recognition and the public recognition of the church, of the gifts, and of the calling that's upon a man. It's said that Spurgeon referred to ordination as empty hands upon empty heads, and Spurgeon evidently was never after. I believe Spurgeon was ordained because obviously he was received and called of the church. That's what true ordination was. But he was never after the fashion of some and the more formal sense, you know, ordained. The Lord greatly used him. It's the local church that recognizes. And it's important, again, that this matter of accountability and responsibility, and even this little flock here, I thank the Lord for you men that I know provide accountability. I don't think most of you would tolerate me going off the deep end somewhere. You'd take me aside and say something. I appreciate that. I also appreciate that you don't nitpick, because I'm sure there's plenty to nitpick about too. But I appreciate that. We read concerning the local church, and again, some amongst Baptists have made some great formal thing out of this, and that's what you can't find that in the scriptures. But it is a truth, and there is that authority and accountability of the local church. And in Acts 13, we read touching the ministry of Paul and others. In Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Anian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas, for this work that they were to go forth to. But then we read concerning the church, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So we read the church sent them away, but in reality, it's the Holy Spirit that sent them away. But, the Lord's church, the wisdom of the body that recognizes those things and sends one forth, not just, in a freelance circumstance. And such was the case with Timothy. We read over in Acts 14:23, when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And the bottom line is, again, it's important that the church recognize the call and the gift of God upon one that's been set aside for the ministry. And Paul himself evidently participated in the setting apart, the ordination of Timothy, because we read, as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Again, not that Paul's putting on of hands conferred some magical gift, but again, it was the acknowledgement of God's hand upon Timothy by those of the church who observed it, by Paul and the other elders who observed it. And the ordination that Timothy went through as the church publicly recognized God's call on him and set him apart for the ministry should serve as a reminder to Timothy of God's call and the recognition that others had of that. So it serves as an encouragement to those things. And Timothy would accompany Paul on his second missionary journey, and you've probably at one time or another through Sunday school followed all the charts of where Paul went during his missionary journeys. But on that second journey, Paul went to, amongst other places, Galatia and Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Paul would go on alone to Athens and later send a message for Silas and Timothy to join him there. Paul greatly valued the friendship and the ministry of this young man, Timothy. Paul would later on send Timothy and Silas on alone to minister to the saints in Thessalonica. And eventually, those two would return to Paul in Corinth. And that's where they are now. Paul is in Corinth. He writes this letter, and amongst others, Timothy and Silas are with him. And so when this epistle is written, Timothy is there, and the greetings are sent to the saints in Rome. Later on, after this letter, as Paul would go forth on a third missionary journey, He would spend 2 years in Ephesus, and Timothy was there with him. From there, Timothy was sent to Corinth and rejoined Paul in Macedonia following the riots in Ephesus, and by the worshippers of Diana. Timothy would return there to Ephesus. Timothy and some of the others would accompany Paul to Greece, then to Jerusalem, where Paul was eventually arrested and appeals to Caesar, which resulted in his journey to Rome, where Paul would eventually come to Rome, as he had been longing for in this letter. At some point, Timothy indeed joins Paul in his first imprisonment, and Paul writes to the saints in Philippi that he intends to send Timothy to him, and he gives a certain matter of commendation towards Timothy. So again, we see his affection for this young man in Philippians 2 and verse 19. Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own things, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him. And as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." So Paul had great respect and great trust in this young man, Timothy. It's kind of interesting. Some folks, when you read the epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1st and 2nd Timothy, you know, they speculate about having maybe some character flaws in Timothy, because Paul, you know, wrote him about specific things and encouraged him. I don't think it's character flaws. You know, we all need encouragements and reminders of things, but some folks, it seems, will find, you know, all sorts of things. At some point, in any case, young Timothy's sent to Ephesus, and he becomes the pastor of that church. And Paul would send him two epistles while he's in epistles that are of great importance to the Lord's churches today. I thought about we're going to maybe go from Hebrews, from Romans, but as I dwelt a little bit on Timothy here, maybe we'll go and look at the epistles of Timothy. I don't know. You pray how the Lord leads us when we're done with Romans, but the epistles to Timothy, Paul deals with the Lord's churches, you know, the polity and the operations of the Lord's churches. And then the second epistle that Paul writes to young Timothy, Paul said during his second imprisonment, and his execution is looming. His execution is at hand. And it's Paul's desire that Timothy come to him. You know, that he be able to spend some time with this young man that he has such affection for and such respect for, that he might spend some of his final hours with Timothy. We read over in 2 Timothy 4, and beginning in verse 6, I'll just skip through a few rather than read a whole lengthy passage, but he says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." You know, again, the experiences that Paul goes through, that Timothy goes through, now these are real life experiences. These are flesh and blood people. These are things that perhaps we haven't been called upon. We haven't yet endured these sort of things, but we may. God's grace is sufficient in all of these, but Paul writes to Timothy, and you know, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." You know, if you can, come, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then he speaks again of some of the others, the disappointments that we have in life as well. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry." He continues on down verse 13. He says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." You know, Paul said, "I left the coat, but bring the books, especially the parchments, especially the scriptures." You know, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Down in verse 18, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And I thank the three Hebrew children, you know, before Nebuchadnezzar. You know, they said, "You know, King, we're not fearful to answer you. So you throw us in the fire. You know, the Lord will preserve us if he wants to. But one thing's for sure, he's going to take us out of your power." And Paul has, you know, that same kind of confidence. "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." He'll either bring him home or in his providence spare him. You know, to have that confidence that we all would strive for. "And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." And then once again, Paul says down in verse 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." You know, try to get here before winter. Those final thoughts of a great and godly saint, a man that was greatly used of God. Fact is, we don't know for a certainty whether Timothy was able to make it to Rome before Paul was executed or not. You know, I kind of like to think that he did. I'm sure if he had received the epistle in a timely manner, he would have done everything he could to be there. But, you know, those details aren't shared with us in Scripture. It's one of those things we'll know someday. I'm sure he would have been quick to respond to Paul's request. Timothy's mentioned as well in Hebrews. Hebrews 13:23 says, "Know that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you." And we may not go to Hebrews next. All big controversy about who wrote Hebrews, and I understand all that. And it doesn't specifically say Paul wrote it, and it's less popular today to believe that he did. But anyways, I think it does point to the fact that Paul wrote it, but some folks think Apollos wrote it. My friend that was here, we talked on spiritual, I didn't get into big art. He thought, because the way it's written, it, he thought a woman wrote it. Well, I you know, not that a woman couldn't, but I just don't believe it. You know, and when he talks here about Timothy and these things, but maybe again, that's one of them popular things. His wife got a master's from Dallas Theological Seminary. You know, some of these folks that are ever learning, and you know, they like to come up with something new, and they'll find something new. And so he didn't know who, but maybe some woman wrote. Yeah, okay. I can't see that in there. You know. Anyway, Paul refers to Timothy and considers him both a son and a brother. In Colossians 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother." You know, that great affection that he has for Timothy is indicative of his character, of his faithfulness, of his service, both to the apostle and to the Lord's churches. Again, in Philippians 2 and verse 22, he says, "But ye know the proof of him," speaking of Timothy, "that as a son with a father he hath served me and the gospel." So, Paul mentions this young man who's greatly used, one he has great affection for. And I think, again, we can learn from the relationships that the brethren have for one another. And I'm thankful that the Lord gives us those sort of relationships with the brethren. And, you know, as Paul longed for Timothy, and, you know, we long for one another. We long for the physical presence of Brother Dale. We're rewarded with that, you know, once in a while, and we're thankful for that. And every week we have his presence here with us via Skype. What God has wrought, we're thankful for what God's been pleased to do, and for the relationships that he's been pleased to cultivate, and even in the life of Paul, and even in the life of Timothy. We'll continue on and look at some of these other folks that Paul mentions next time we're together. We'll take our hymnal, and we'll stand and sing together a closing hymn, number 340, Electing Grace, 340. Let's stand as we sing this together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, for all that you pour out upon us. Lord, we thank thee most for your love that spanned eternity, for the atoning death of our Savior. Lord, we thank you for the brethren that you bring into our lives, the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for each one that's here, for my dear wife, for Brother Puffle, for Brother Dale, for Brother Hal, and Lord, the bond of affection that you knit, even as we see in the apostles' affection for Timothy. Lord, we just pray that we might prove to be encouragements and helps one to another, and that you might be glorified in our lives, and that you might keep us faithful. Lord, I pray you watch over us as we go our separate ways and use us all to your glory. I pray you be with my brother Hal as he travels next week and keep him safe as he'll be away from us. Lord, we still rejoice in the visit of Brother Dale. And we pray now your hand upon him as there's some physical storms coming his way, that you might keep him safe, that you might keep your hand upon him. Lord, we just thank you that we can have confidence and your loving and sustaining grace, even as the apostle was facing death and could express confidence in your deliverance. Father, help us each to be used of Thee. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.